This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and Andy and I are back with Season 2, Episode 5. As we kind of break down the final rosters of Team Canada and Team USA as the World Junior Classic starts on Christmas Day. The schedule has been released and hockey is on the immediate horizon now. And I can't wait. I know Andy can't wait. Andy, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Like you mentioned, actually, we have some preliminary games next Monday, I think. Team Canada plays, there's a prelim game next either Monday or Tuesday. I think they play Sweden. So that should be fun. Yeah, I think it's, I believe Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Team Canada will play Team Sweden. I think there's a few other games too. I have to look at that. But yeah, we're clearly less than a week out from some form of hockey. So that makes me extremely excited. The Rangers are, rightly so, funneling back to New York for training camp. So yeah, it just feels like this is where I thought we were going to be in earlier December, but whatever. It's here now. I can't really complain too much. So I'm excited.
Yeah, no, there's no complaining. I know we got the Igor notification saying that he is on his way back to New York, which means they're gearing up. They're getting ready to go. And camp will be around any second. And, you know, New York Rangers hockey is back. So everyone's got to be excited about that. Andy, I do have a couple things, though, that I want to bring up before we kind of get into the meat of our podcast. And the first one that I want to bring up is a little bit of it's controversy, okay? Because it's something that has been in my mind probably for my entire life. And now I've seen a couple things pop up telling me that it's completely wrong and that I've been living a life of a lie. And I really want you to tell me that either I'm not crazy or that, yeah, James, you are crazy. You made this up in your head. Okay. How do you abbreviate Philadelphia?
Man, I've always done a PHI.
Okay.
Am I wrong? I don't know.
Well, that's the way I do it, but this is now the second time in the past like week that I've seen it PHA, and it's blowing my mind, and more people are using it, and I'm noticing it more because I feel like it's something that you probably just glanced over, but the PHA is throwing me off, and I don't know what it is. It's really tripping me up, and it seems so minuscule and such a minute point to even bring up, but PHA versus PHI, it's like two different worlds. It's like one universe is PHI and one universe is PHA, and I just flipped.
Yeah, it's like the whole Berenstain Bears. When the Rangers play the Flyers in a Thanksgiving Day classic or showdown, whatever you want to call it, does NBC have PHA up? Because I'm remembering as PHI. Now I'm starting to feel like my whole life is a lie too. Like I gotta.
Who put out the new divisions? Someone tweeted out the new divisions, and that's what started it. They abbreviated Philly with PHA, and I looked at it. I'm like, oh my god, like what an idiot. And then I saw another tweet saying PHA, and I'm like, who's the idiot? And I started looking in the mirror at myself being like, was I living a lie in my own head? But no, I think it's PHI. Thank God you said it's PHI. But all the PHA people out there, you can't do this to me. You got to stick with one. It's PHI. It's what NBC uses. You can't change it to PHA. It's too confusing for me. I can only handle so much in this world. Just can we keep it simple? It's PHI. We can agree on that, Andy?
I'm with you. Yeah, you absolutely. That's PHA is very confusing. Like it's like if you say PHI, there's really no mistaking what city you're abbreviating. I just don't.
Yeah, the PHA is like, it could be Phoenix. I know Phoenix is not, that's not what it is. They have the X in there, but like, it's just too much. I don't know what you're abbreviating at that point. And I've already, my brain is at max capacity and I can't be replacing city abbreviations. I just can't.
I'm with you on that one.
Okay, all right. That's the first one. The second one is, and this is like a deeper conversation. This could actually probably be a whole podcast, but I want you to just say the answer that I want you to say, and this way I can just move on, but I need to hear the answer. It's NHL stars so robotic and boring? Like, I just saw a video yesterday of Sidney Crosby telling everyone, hey, I just want to hope everyone is staying safe during this difficult time. Hopefully things get back to normal. Okay, and let's get the season underway. And it was so, like, blah, and so boring. And then, like, the NHL stars that I thought, like, of the next generation, they're just quiet, but then they're weird. Like, Austin Matthews has, like, the mustache. He wears, like, weird cutoff jeans. And they're, like, he doesn't really say much. He just dresses differently. So he's, like, basically Sidney Crosby, except he is, like, dresses sort of like a hipster, I guess. Which is fine, but it's like, can't we just like have a star that's like vocal and fun? I mean, we had like PK Subban, but like, there's nobody else.
Oh yeah, Ovi, Subban, and yeah, we haven't really had a. I can't remember, like you said, outside of those two guys, I can't remember. Maybe I don't know Danny Heatley. I don't know if he counts, but like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't know, man. Like I feel like Sagan could be that guy, but at the same time, playing in Dallas has kind of hurt his overall notoriety or star power. Because if Sagan played in like either for an original six team, like if he was still in Boston or he played in, for the Leafs or something, like I think he would be a much bigger deal. And he's got a good, fun personality, you know. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Like you said, like Sidney Crosby is just. What I think Greg Wyshynski does the impression is just like, oh, you know, like, he's just very soft spoken. And even Connor and like his commercials is very one note. They're all one note.
That's every time, like, every picture of Connor is like he saw a ghost, like he's shocked, like the person took the picture. It's like, dude, you're a celebrity. You're the best hockey player in the world. Like, act like it. And he's
like
swagger.
a deer. Like
yes, a deer. Yeah,
he's like every picture of him is like a deer, a deer in a headlights, or like deer on like night vision hunting cam that's like attached to a tree where he just like looks around. He's just like,
oh, yeah.
Even in his own house, he's like, I hope no one knows me in my house. Yeah, and we've seen that Austin Matthews clearly has a little charisma to him. He was hanging out with Justin Bieber the other day. I saw
right.
And like you said, he wears like Gucci flip flops and he's got the mustache. But yeah, but like to your point, you know, I was having this conversation with one of the other hosts. I think either it was Hockey Troll for Caps Chirp or it was with the Klink Brothers of the Discussion 5. Oh, excuse me, that's our old podcast, the Red Wings Rant podcast for our Detroit Red Wing podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network. And it's funny because the league. We are always bemoaning the fact that the league doesn't promote superstars, but at the same time, it's like they like it that way. They like that these guys are an individualist, that they're all like, oh, you know, the team, and I don't want to stick out. And then when it comes to like, you know, labor negotiations or advocating for themselves or like wanting to make sure they get put first, they don't want to seem greedy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And kind of like they toe the line all the time instead of being, no one wants to be the one to like step out and say like, you know, screw this man. Like this is wrong. That's why I was really surprised when Panarin, put out that letter, you know, stating that like this is a chance to like fix escrow and like why is this happening?
Yeah,
you know, he just signed that big ticket. It would really surprise me, you know. And I guess you know, unfortunately for Panarin, it's like I think he speaks better English than we really think he does, or it gets portrayed. But at the same time, it's not his native language, so he might not be super comfortable just being like a vocal, you know. Especially when you hear about guys like, you know, Brett Hull was a big personality.
Right.
Chris Chelios is a big personality. Yeah, I feel like there's a few guys back then who were bigger personalities, you know, compared to even the guys who were maybe more traditional were still like bigger, more like Messier had a,
right.
I don't want to say boastful, but he was like a present. He had presence. You know what I mean? You know, right. Wayne was was a very low key, but he was also like the best player. And like, you know, I guess much like Connor and Sid, they're just kind of like, that's their thing. They're the best players in the world, but they go about their business and they're quiet about it. But you know, you had other guys that were like, you know, I'd say Brent Burns is kind of has that star.
But you know, it's, I feel like,
but no, but you're right to your point. Other than that, I don't really know.
Well, like PK Subban obviously maybe has one of the biggest personalities in the league, and you know, people love that about him. And he actually has even gotten hate about it because it's not as like, it's not, you know, quote unquote hockey etiquette. But the NHL needs that because you're trying to sell the game to people and you need characters. But my problem with PK Subban was he became like network polished, where it's almost he became scripted. Whereas like, I kind of want to hear him just like, you know, shoot the shit a little bit, you know, with the hockey guys. Like that's what, you know, I think hockey, you know, players love, you know, the most, hearing NHLers just kind of, you know, talk the hockey talk, you know, I want to hear, you know, them chirp each other, you know, after a bad play and stuff like that. I just feel like, you know, we had someone in PK and he got a little too scripted for me. And now, you know, I need like, you know, like the Tkachuk brothers, you know, could be someone that could be vocal in the future. You know, maybe Brady Tkachuk, because he'll probably be a little bit better, I think, overall. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, we could have a whole podcast talking about, you know, player personality and, you know, what does it mean for the league and, you know, the players union and stuff like that. But, you know, just something that was on my mind. And you know, obviously you basically hit the nail right on the head. It's just, you know, it's just the way hockey players are, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll put a nice little bow on it. I really did think that it was, you know, because we even saw like, you know, a few years ago, was it when Yakupov, not that he's in the league anymore, but when, you know, when he scored that tying goal and he did the whole, what, he slid on his knees on the ice thing. I absolutely loved it. And he got absolutely crucified by like the, you know, the old school hockey media. It has gotten better. Guys are, you know, at least they've even said that it's like when you were a young guy, you used to come in and then like, you had to like shut up and keep your head down and like not look anyone in the eye and not talk to them. And now it's like the young guys, they control like the boombox in the dressing room. But Jesus, I still call them boombox. That's how old I am. But I guess so. I guess it's changing on one front. But like you said, hockey players are right now, it's still imprinted in their DNA to like not be too out of line. And if they are, they can't be. There has to be polish there no matter what, even though behind the scenes they're, you know, saying I'm sure behind closed doors, they're, you know, they're saying beyond the pale stuff and talking about wheeling and, you know, they're taking their teeth out and they're spitting tobacco everywhere, you know, and chew everywhere. And yeah, they're probably big. They're definitely plenty of personalities in the leagues. It's just, they do not show it and they choose not to, and they don't want to, and they don't, you know, I think we spoke about this last, that was another thing, is that like, in the NBA, when the All-Star game, if a guy's not in the All-Star game, like if they don't make it, they're like, I want to be in the crowd for the dunk contest. So when like someone does a sick dunk, I can get up and like hold on to like act like I'm having an out of body experience. Meanwhile, like you said, like NHL players are figuring out how to fake like a groin injury so they don't have to go, you know, if they make the damn game. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
And that's the big difference. It's like the NBA caters to its players. And the players know that, and they get that back, so they kind of naturally want to feed into it because it helps them. It's a mutually beneficial thing. But the NHL, like the players, it's like, because it's not in their best interest to be featured almost. It's just, yeah, it's still more as like a team. Whereas, you know, at the end of the, not that it should be, I don't think it should be this way in the NHL because you have the handshake line and all that, but it's like, you know, you could play a brutal 60 minutes against someone, but after, you know, the two stars are like, high five and like, it was a good game, whatever, and giving each other respect, and that you get that moment after every game, no matter what the score was. You know, you see both stars, and when a hockey game's over, everyone gets off the ice like goodbye, like,
right? Yeah,
yeah. I don't know, they have to, whether it's just funny just to think that even lingering shots of two stars on the ice, just saying like, oh, this whatever, this that could make a big difference. But at the same time, it's, you know, I don't know if there's, you could argue that there's a lot of competitive fuel and they're the enemy built into hockey. So maybe that's not, maybe, I don't know, maybe that's too hard to turn off immediately after, especially after a brutal loss. But yeah, I don't know. Just something to think about.
All right. Well, My next question is actually not really a question, but I want you to say, what if I told you that there was a 20 goal scorer out there that you can probably get for $1 million, and I think you can plug them wherever you want in the lineup as a forward?
20 goal scorer.
The 20 goal
scorer. 20 goal scorer last year?
Yes, or last year.
Has scored 20 goals.
Nope, last year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Only $1 million.
Only $1 million.
So, okay. No, it's not. I assume it's not Mike Hoffman, right?
It's not Mike Hoffman.
Is it Mike Hoffman? It's not Pacioretty either, because obviously you can't have either of those guys for $1 million. But I'm trying to think, who is it? Oh, I think is it Anthony DeClaire?
Yes.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, I was wondering what's going on there. Like, I don't know, man. Like, it's so weird. I know him and Torts had their issues, and obviously the fact that Ottawa was so reticent to give him, I know Ottawa's cheap, but I don't know what's going on there, man. Like, he looked like he was ready to, like, almost like Fiala. He looks like he really came into his own, but I don't know if it's where there's smoke, there's fire thing, because you have to imagine that someone would have given him his money at some point. Is there something going on we don't know about?
I don't know about, but I don't know anything about that, his personal life or anything like that. But the kid had 23 goals and 17 assists in 66 games for the Ottawa Senators. He's been a Ranger before. Why not take a chance on him? Because you can probably get him for $1 million if he's sitting around at home doing nothing because no one signed him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I would much rather have him than some. I'm sure one of the players we're going to have on our fourth line. Yeah, I think unfortunately for the Rangers, they do have a bit of a cap issue this season. But like you said, I know he represented himself in negotiations with Pierre Dorion and the Senators. So I assume that they may have made him an offer and he just did not. It was too little. And I don't know if he's waited too long now and he doesn't want to. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he's getting. There's a few guys that have, you know, where we have less than a month and they haven't signed. So, you know, Hoffman hasn't found a home yet. DeClaire hasn't settled.
Yeah, but
Hoffman yet,
Hoffman has a story though. Like, he's got baggage. His wife was a nut job. You know, there was weird.
Yeah, but
stuff
there was no
on.
Problems, and he was good, and he was good enough in Florida, and there nothing happened. And at this, you know, listen, I feel the same way. Like, I get it. Like, that whole situation made me sick too. But at the same time, it's like he already. You know, it was, I feel like because it never, charges were never filed. They sued the Carlsons for defamation, right? Isn't that what happened?
I think so.
But
I mean, listen,
I think they settled. But.
Coming from the Rangers' point of view, you don't bring a guy like that into a team that you're trying to rebuild and change the culture a little bit and change, you know, just kind of turn it all around. The Hoffman is a piece that you maybe add to a team if you lack some goal scoring depth and you want to make a
cup. He puts you over the top to fix your power play. But right. No, I mean, I DeClaire, I would love to have on the Rangers. You know, if you can get him for the right play. I've heard of weird like I did hear the Rangers at least kick the tires just exploratorily on Pacioretty, which I understand. They're just like, what's going on here? You know.
Yeah.
There's a weird rumor that the Rangers have interest in Chara. I don't know where that came from.
Of course,
you know, a lot of these rumors are bullshit. But it's just one of those things where, you know, obviously GMs talk and they ask what's up, and sometimes that gets taken as, oh, he's like looking to get this guy. Sometimes he's just curious.
Yeah.
Sometimes it helps, just they want to gauge what is going on around the league, especially in their division, you know? So
I mean, I guess I shouldn't react like that with, oh my God, for Chara. I mean, bringing him in for 1 year just to kind of lead the way.
I'll take Chara.
I'll take it.
Over Jack Johnson. That's for sure. Especially with his leadership abilities.
Yeah. No, like, absolutely. You're right. I overreacted there.
A Chara Tony pair would be pretty interesting. Yeah, you could pair him with a guy who's going to do more. I wouldn't put him with a Fox per se. I'd definitely put him with a Tony D'Angelo though.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, absolutely. Let Tony run.
Or hell, if maybe if for some Keandre surprises and somehow makes it either out of camp or early. Can you imagine having trying to get around those two?
Yeah, would that be the way Keandre can skate? That would be the tallest duo in the NHL.
Yeah, probably. I forget how tall Keandre is now. He's probably at least 6'4", right?
Yeah.
So that would be, yeah, I mean, it would be a nightmare trying to get around those two. Char, obviously, unfortunately, can't skate like he used to, but Keandre is so good with his reach currently in neutral zone. Like, and listen, he's definitely raw. I would hope that Keandre gets some seasoning in the AHL to start, but who knows? The Rangers have been super complimentary of him. He spent all summer, him and Morgan Barron have been training with, and Alexi Lafreniere, once he got here, have been training with Kreider in Connecticut with Ben Prentice. He's been on the ice with the Rangers. He went with them. Him and Vitaly went with them to the bubble to practice, and everyone really liked his poise, and he didn't look too out of place. But that's practice. It's totally different. But, yeah, who knows? I mean, strange things have happened, so we'll see.
Yeah, but I want to start a campaign, bring back Dookie. I want him. He's 20-goal scorer.
I like the Duke.
He's got a little swagger to him.
Was that his first NHL goal against that game where the Rangers came back? You know, the comeback versus Minnesota, that game was awesome. I lost my mind. I love that game. I guess maybe hopefully he wouldn't have too hard feelings. They could just be like, listen, we were making a playoff run and you were good, so we had to trade you because you had value and we were trying to extend our cup window. So I don't know. I don't know if he takes it personally. Maybe not. I don't know. But, you know, maybe it could be a sell. I mean, I think, I think for him, clearly, representing himself, I think he, at the end of the day, he knows how much he thinks he should make. So I'm hoping that doesn't make it cost prohibitive. But like you said, the pandemic definitely has changed things. And I think the longer time goes on, he's going to have to, you know, who knows? I don't know if that Ottawa deal is still on the table and he can still take it because he had a good thing going there. But, and he'll definitely, they're a place that can give him time. I think the only thing that doesn't benefit is him being a winger is in terms of like, if he wants to make some bank, it's tough. That's a tough. You can maybe get him on. You know. I don't know if he can play both sides, but like you know, the Rangers are very deep on the wing, so you know that might be tougher for him to break in, especially if he doesn't.
Right, but I'm thinking moving
Quinn's
to the
big
right
side guy. So I don't know. Per
you know
se.
What I mean? Like I just feel like he's a better option than some of the players that we have rostered.
If it's
right
like
now.
One of those things where he's going to want to be at the mercy, whereas in I just feel like. In Ottawa, because they're not that deep on the wing yet that he can, you know, play, especially because he's a left winger, right? So
left wing.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't. Yeah. So Panarin and Lafreniere is tough. You know, if he's, I wouldn't want to, unless he's playing, he can switch to the other side, you know, it's might be rough, but who knows? Maybe he gets desperate. I would definitely love to have him, but, you know, who knows what happens or what he's looking.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, I would take a chance with him on the right side.
Yeah, it's definitely nice to, he's, like you said, he's coming into his own, and worst case scenario, who knows, he could light it up again, and then you could say, the Rangers could be like, all right, Duke, we love you, but like, if you want to make money, you know, go fly and get some assets for him, you know, who knows? Or who knows, maybe it's like one of those things where he just makes,
yeah,
you know, I hate to say it because I love the guy, but maybe he makes Buchnevich a bit, you know, expendable. I don't know, but we'll see. But that's a lot of presumptions of whether A, he wants to come here and take less money, and B, if he'd be comfortable switching sides. So we don't know that. But listen, if he didn't have a home, I definitely would hope the Rangers were at least ask him or were interested.
Yeah. So, all right. I mean, that pretty much wraps up that. And, you know, I'm glad that you kind of agreed with me because I got nervous once I brought it up. I'm like, oh my God, is there something I don't know that like Andy's going to just, you know, crush me for? But thanks. Okay. Playoffs next year. I heard a little bit of an idea that kind of resonated with me because I thought it was cool. And I think it would make the playoffs a lot more interesting and a lot more fun. I heard this from Spit and Chicklets, RA, talking about it. Basically, have, you know, the same amount of teams from, you know, obviously of the Jager division, with the Sundin division, the Korea division, and the Chelios division. Everyone gets an equal amount, and then you seed them 1 through 16. One plays 16, two plays 15, And that's how you set up the playoff bracket. No East and Western Conference. You do it all in one bubble, sort of like a March Madness. Basically just 1 through 15 or 1 through 16, rank them all, let them play each other.
I like it. It's, you know, it's elegant under the circumstances we are in right now. It's not permanent, so you don't have to worry about that too much. I mean, we're already going to redraw divisions just for that, so why not, if you're not going to get to play teams in the West during the year, maybe you can get them in the playoffs. I think that's a pretty easy, elegant solution. And I've never been too precious about the whole, you know, seeding thing like some people are, and like what's fair, especially this year. I don't like, if this is just for this year, I like it. I think it's good. Maybe I understand if it was a permanent thing, there might be some more, besides logistic problems, philosophical problems. But no, just for this season, it makes sense to me.
I mean, you're going to be playing in a bubble anyway, so you don't have to worry about the East Coast, West Coast traveling. You're not going to have to really worry about fans. And, you know, it's just going to be a fun, unique thing that I think a lot more people will watch. I think you'll get a lot more eyeballs. And, like, think of how cool would it be, you know, to kind of see a, you know, Boston Bruins versus Chicago Blackhawks matchup, you know, if that just so happens to be the case. You know, I just think you would see some really unique matchups that you would never get to see. And I just think a lot more people would be excited about it. Obviously some people will rant and rave.
Yeah. Watch a team like Toronto, unfortunately, still ends up like drawing the Boston Bruins, and they're like, no matter what,
right?
They can't escape them. They're like, oh no.
No, there's
to your point, that's a perfectly elegant and, or I shouldn't say elegant, it's just perfectly, it's just a perfectly simple solution. It, like you said, it'll create matchups. It'll guarantee some maybe more unorthodox matchups. You know, and maybe the only thing that this season, because we spoke on our last podcast about the fact that if you're going to play within your division, all your games within your division, it might reignite some rivalries. You know, I think you do want to get some payoff for that, right? To guarantee that you might be playing within that little division you're in. But at the same time, you're going to play them so much, you're already kind of getting that matchup. And it would be nice by the end of the year to get like, all right, finally kind of get like, it's kind of nice when two teams go into it, maybe they don't have a feel for that team this year. Because even if you only play a team twice, you can maybe be like, oh, wow, they really, you know, beat the shit out of us like in our first meeting, and then we made adjustments in the second game and it was better. So who knows who, you know, but I like it though. I still think that's the way to go. It's fair. You know, I think it'll make things it's just like, you're never going to be able to balance things out fairness with the amount of games being played anyway. It's just kind of a flash in the pan. So there shouldn't be anyone upset, although people will always find a way to complain about something. But no, I think it's perfectly fair, and I would like to see it.
Yeah, no, I think it would be, you know, really fun, and it's just interesting and something fresh. You know, I know this season is kind of thrown together and kind of thrown at us. I think it would be a nice little treat to have the playoffs shaken up too. Ray Ray made a comment on our Instagram post, and I tried my best to answer her, and it got me thinking. I'm kind of with her. I don't get why the divisions were changed. Like, I understand the all-Canadian one, but like, and like, are they just filling the void? Because I don't see how it affects travel costs. Like, I mean, obviously the Jager division is, they're going to spend almost nothing on traveling because they're all right there. But other than that, like, they're staying in the hotel. They're secluded. Like, are there no flights from Canada and USA right now? Like, they can't make an exception for private planes. I'm sure there's private planes going all over the place right now. It just, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense. And
I know the border has been sealed shut. So that obviously that makes sense for the Canadian division. Honestly, man, I do, like some of these teams have been, especially the owners have been so, I think it does equate to, I think you're going to see a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if you see games scheduled earlier in the day. And if team, you know, if you're, it's a big, you know, I think everything adds up. I think less staying in hotels overall, especially like you said, in the Yager division, you're going to train, you'll either bus or train to every game and you can sleep in your own bed. You don't have to go in a strange hotel where worried about who wiped what down and like where you're getting your food from. And I just think it's one of those things that they think that the combination of just all of that put together, you know, saved travel costs, you know, fuel for private planes, saved on lodging and housing, just every little bit for their bottom line. I think they calculated how much they could probably save by doing this. And it was probably definitely enough to for them to right now, especially I think with the amount of revenue they stand to lose this season. I think it just made sense to them. And just from a health precautionary sense, I think it makes sense. I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see some earlier scheduled games this year, you know, just for that, just so teams can like fly. It makes more sense for them just to come in, play their game, you know, or if they're going to play, I don't know if they're going to do back to backs. I don't know how they're scheduling it. They're working that out now, but I think they're literally just trying to limit limiting time for contact tracing purposes. It's, you don't have to be worried about who gave it to him. Was it a delivery man? Who else did he get in contact with? Or like, how long was he on the plane playing cards with this guy? You know what I mean? Like, I just think it's for them, it seems like a no brainer, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I understand what she's saying and I'm going to go with her because I think overall it doesn't really make a difference at that point. If they're doing everything privately, I understand the hotel stuff, but I'm just going to still go with her because I don't really understand why, if everything's private, why they can't figure that end out. But we'll just say it's money and money talks. So we'll leave it at that.
I do think that's it. Again, thanks to Ray from the House of Hockey podcast. You guys, you should definitely listen to it. They talk to various guests about the hockey lifestyle. And they have fascinating. 2 weeks ago, they had Brad Park on, and I was super jealous. Like, Ranger Hall of Fame defenseman, Rangers and defenseman Brad Park. That's a get, huh?
Yeah. You know. So, absolutely.
Yeah. Check out the House of Hockey podcast. They are tremendous. I think I'm just going to chalk it up to money. Because, you know, I could talk about all the little ways you can keep them safe. But in the back of my mind, they said, look, it's cheaper. And that's probably why they did it. You know what I mean? And may be justified to themselves by saying that, but you know, listen, you tell some of these owners the way they act, you know, you tell them like, oh, you know, just this is how much you'll save and just, you know, not having to waste airplane fuel.
They're like, where do I sign?
You know, if it was $50, they'd probably be like, yeah, where do I sign? I don't have to do it.
Yeah. Do you think Dolan even participates in those conversations or he's just like, whatever the NHL does, I'm cool with?
I think, you know, we know Dolan is a little bit more hands off with the Rangers than he is the Knicks. He's not like Jeremy Jacobs with the Bruins where everything is a fight. And, you know, I think Dolan is one of the, I don't think he's really the one who's like, I don't think he was one of the teams coming to, he definitely wasn't coming to, you know, the Forbes just released their evaluations of each of the NHL teams, and the Rangers were number one, Toronto number two.
Are you going to bring that up every podcast now?
I am, but I don't bring it up as a point of pride. I bring it up as, and I even, like I said, I tweeted
you're bragging.
This, like, no, I'm not. Why? You know, it's a problem. It's like we talked about how much it's so effing expensive it is to go to a Rangers game. You know what I mean? You know, especially you look at you pay all this money and to sit up in the nosebleeds up in, you know, where the blue seats used to be. I guess they're still technically blue seats in spirit, but at the same time, you look down and some prick from a, you know, securities company and his friends in their bubble vests, they miss the first period, they come in for the second, and then they leave halfway through the third period. And you're like, God, you know, I'd kill to be sitting there. And then you like, how much does it cost to sit there? And you're like, oh, you know, to if it's even to watch them play the Wild on a Tuesday night, it's, you know, it's $280 to sit down there. So you're like, thanks, but no thanks. I will sit up here. So,
right. It's cheaper to go to the Devils game when they're playing the Rangers than it would be to go to the Rangers game.
I could buy four seats at a Devils game and splay out and lay on my side, like, you know, like Marcus Aurelius. And I could have, you know, someone in a fifth seat feed me grapes, which would probably be cheaper, you know, from or whatever they have it at the, I almost call it the Rock, at the Prudential Center, you know?
Yeah. And then you got, you know, our boy Gibby buying three sets of tickets so he could go and drink in between periods at the bar across the street because it's cheaper to buy the beer there than it is to buy stadium beer.
Yeah. You know, meanwhile, I'm like, I think I'm smart because I'm getting the double, you know, Jack and ginger ale from the bar at MSG. Oh, $27. Sure. Here's my credit card. No, I'm not going to feel this tomorrow. Ouch.
Yeah. No.
All right. That's a whole other podcast we should probably talk about.
We've got hockey talk.
Those are the moments you're a sports fan for. Those are the moments where, you know, you're down 3-0 and the team has this amazing comeback and the guy who you want, who you really are thinking this needs to be the star of this team, has a hat trick.
We've got beer.
It has a unicorn on the can. An easy drinking beer that's just delicious.
We want to help you understand the sport you love better.
What kind of things are you looking for to understand the game better? What, you know, what's a couple of things someone who's watching a game at home when things start up here in a few weeks, or if they're watching college hockey, what's going on right now, what kind of things would they be looking for to try and understand the game better, or what's happening in the game, that sort of thing?
Sure. Yeah, it's a great question, and I think it's something that's evergreen.
Listen to Jackets Debrief, part of the Hockey Podcast Network, and available wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
So, all right, let's get into the, you know, the meat of the podcast. This is, you know, you're a baby, you're Mr. Prospect. We can get into Team USA and Team Canada. Let's do Team Canada first, because,
sure,
you know, obviously there's a couple New York Rangers on there that people are very familiar with, or should be very familiar with, because one of which was our first round draft pick. You know, so Team Canada, obviously heavy favorites going into this. Their lineup is stacked all the way through. I don't even know where their weaknesses lie. In the past, usually I feel like it's goaltending. I don't know if that's still the case.
Yeah, so, I would say that's this year that's the case. Yeah, so basically Team Canada, odds on favorite to win this tournament, but they you can say that almost every year, you know. But at the same time, I just think I would say it's definitely been, COVID has been difficult for all these teams. Teams have lost players, and some, you know, high profile players to the pandemic and to positive COVID tests. You know, Canada, even with Alexi Lafreniere opting not to just to focus on Rangers training camp, you have to imagine at some point, depending on, I don't know how, if Kirby Dach is going to have to leave. I think, I forget when the final game of the tournament, I think he's going to play the whole tournament. He should be fine. But yeah, just to show how deep they are, it's like, you know, so they cut some of the players that didn't make final camp. I mean, you know, Seth Jarvis, who went, was it 13th to, was it 13 where Carolina picked, you know, players like Seth Jarvis and Maverick Bourque. These are high profile guys, first round picks this last year, didn't make this team. That's how deep they are. And I mean, you know, Quinton Byfield, like I said, you'll have Kirby Dach, Dylan Cousins is coming back. Connor McMichael for the Washington Capitals. Yeah, like I said, Quinton Byfield, second overall for LA. You know, there people are looking for him to have a good term. Alex Newhook, you know, Colorado Avalanche. So it's just, it's a deep team, man. They have a lot of star power. They have a lot of first round picks. As I look at this lineup,
to put it in perspective, their entire forwards, every single forward was drafted in the first round, the latest pick being 28th overall, Ryan Suzuki. So that's just like where they're at.
And so, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get much better.
Suzuki,
than that.
No, it really doesn't. Like we said, you know, and especially on D, you could make an argument that Bowen Byram might be poised to be the best player in the tournament. Him and Dach can absolutely take over this tournament if they want to. I mean, I would honestly, looking at you know, I don't know if for defense, I don't know who ends up, you know, they'll try to get everyone in. You could argue that one of Korzak or Jordan Spence might not see much ice time, but at the same time, it's very possible that, you know, Thomas Harley and Schneider have been paired a lot in the past for Team Canada, and I think in practice. So, yeah, I think at any moment, I think they're going to keep Drysdale. I don't know if Team Canada is going to split Drysdale and Byram up if they're going to have them together, but you can have those two on the ice at any given moment and just, yeah, they're absolutely stacked. But I will say this, you know, how many times have it's been like odds on favorite and then like they end up losing to a team that is lesser on paper and then all of Canada has to go into therapy. They're literally like, they have like, what happened? Like what they have a post-mortem, like what's wrong with Hockey Canada that they can't like, or goaltending.
Right.
And listen, so for goaltending, you have Devin Levi, who is playing for the Huskies this year in Northeastern, and who, you know, not a bad Northeastern team this year, you know, but you know, Taylor Gauthier and Dylan Garand, New York Rangers, and honestly, all three of these guys are kind of unproven. You know, Levi's the oldest of them, so I assume he might get the start. All of them at various times in Canada's training camp before they had to quarantine impressed. But, you know, they're going to be going up against, you know, Spencer Knight for Team USA. They're going to be like, you know, at Yaroslav Askarov for, oh, is Askarov actually, is he? No, I'm sorry. Askarov is. Yeah, Askarov's playing for Russia. So Askarov for Russia, who just went, what, where were the Preds picking? Wherever they picked him, whatever.
Picked like third.
So yeah, you could argue that if all three of those guys are kind of unproven. So who knows? That could be their Achilles heel. But on paper, Canada is absolutely stacked. And it's one of those things where they look like they can play it any which way you want because, you know, they might have guys like Dawson Mercer, the Devils draft picked on their fourth line, who are both can grind it out and be good two-way guys, but are also very skilled. You know, same thing with who knows where they'll slot Connor McMichael, same thing. But, and they have size, and, you know, Doc is an NHL player already, so that you have that.
Right.
So I just don't, you know, but we've said this before, and sometimes it's not about that. And sometimes the scrappier teams, especially a scrappy Team USA, yeah, that on paper they don't look as formidable, but you know, they can knock off some good teams. So,
yeah, and I do want to point out that you said Jordan Spence and was it Kaden Korzak?
Yeah,
yeah. You're like those two guys might not get much playing time. Yeah, because one was drafted in the second round, the other was drafted in the fourth round. The rest are all first round draft picks. So, like, they literally will have their starting roster from defense and forwards will all be drafted in the first round. I mean, that's incredible. And they're, yeah, like, they're big names. So, I don't know. All right. So, for Ranger fans that are listening, Rangers have a couple players in, you know, Braden Schneider and Dylan Garand. Do you think you'll see, what kind of role will these players be playing?
You know, so, as far as Garand goes, I don't know. I think Levi is going to be their guy out of the gate. I think he'll get some. I don't know who's going to play. I think it comes down to, honestly, though, who plays best in the prelips for them. Everyone's going to get a chance, I think. I think out of camp, it was sounding like Levi in the end might have been their guy. He's the old, like I said, he's the oldest. So, yeah. So who knows? But at the same time, you never know. Maybe someone gets hurt. Garand a bit smaller for a goaltender, but at the same time he was very good for Kamloops last season. He battles hard, he looked good at times in practice or at least the scrimmages they showed. So yeah, who knows? I think it's wide open, and I think that just kind of goes to show they don't have that one guy that you can just hang your hat on, like Askarov, who had a more difficult World Junior tournament last season than he had hoped, but you know, is now currently acquitting himself quite nicely in the KHL. And yeah, Spencer Knight, who's, you know, gone on, he's playing college hockey at this point. So as far as Braden Schneider goes, I think you'll see him end up paired with Thomas Harley and just more of a, you're going to have your Drysdales and your Bowen Byrams who are going to be exploratory defensemen. They're going to be, you know, transitioning all over the ice. And I think they're counting on guys, you know, the heavier guys, i.e. Braden Schneider, just to play a more patient game. But at times we've seen Schneider jump up in the play quite a bit. So who knows, you know, if, especially if that Team Canada is going as a whole and he sees a chance to exploit, a gap in coverage, he will. But I think he's going to see a lot of penalty killing time, and he's just going to be relied on to play that game that why the Rangers drafted him. Just patient, physical, heavy, you know, and yeah, I don't think it's as high profile role as, like I said, Byram or Drysdale, but at the same time, it's like, I think he'll be a go-to guy. And I still think, there's a potential for him to become a minute eater, especially against some of the tougher teams, or especially if they're holding on to a lead. Who knows? You might see, if they grab a lead, you might actually see more Schneider than maybe one of a Drysdale or a Byram. But, you know, Byram's still the go-to guy for Team Canada, with Drysdale right behind him.
Team USA, Andy, our pride and joy in Team USA going all the way. You know, what can we expect from them? I feel like, me personally, this year, I don't know. I feel like we got they're one big question mark.
Yeah, which is weird. I think that's played to Team USA's favor in the past, though. Those teams that end up winning. True. When it's like Team USA, when every year when it's like, oh, finally, look at the talent, you know, Team USA has. Even, you know, with that stacked first round class that the U.S. National Development Team had, you know, last year. Yeah, it just kind of ends in disappointment. But, you know, the funny thing is, I look at this team, like, up front, and they're no slouch.
They got big names on there.
Yes, and so I would say, you know, especially down the middle with players, I don't know if they're going to split. They might keep Trevor Zegras and Alex Turcotte together, because I think they've been playing on a line together, because they have every bit of magic. But listen, those two together are absolutely dangerous. With the two-way play of Turcotte and just the offensive wizardry of Trevor Zegras, especially if you put him with Cole Caulfield as a sniper, that line could be absolutely dominant in this tournament. You know what I mean? And I would argue maybe that they can have a bit more of a, they could have their, they could probably have a bit more of a feisty bottom six. You know, I don't know. Unfortunately, I don't know if Brett Berard, Rangers draft pick, you know, one of him, Patrick Moynihan, or I guess Farinacci any one of them could be the odd man out or extra forward. But at the same time, I think they'll each get their chance. I mean, you know, you have Brendan Brisson, who, you know, I was high on. He could center his own line if he wants to, or if they want to put him on the wing. He's an absolute, you know, weapon on the power play with that one timer. Matthew Boldy, Bobby Brink, you have a big guy like Sam Colangelo. So, you know, and even then you have guys like, you know, Artur Kaliev, who are a bit mercurial, but at the same time can absolutely shoot the lights out. So who knows? I look at that. And then on the back end, you know, you're going to have Sanderson is going to be your go-to hold it down guy. And then Cam York is going to be your offensive. They might have a little bit more defined roles for their defense. You know what I mean? They're definitely not as deep as, they're definitely not as deep as Team Canada. Hunter Skinner, I might be a long shot. He might be the extra, I don't want to say a long shot, but he's probably ends up playing as their, you know, an extra defenseman, unfortunately. But who knows? Like, all it takes is a guy to unfortunately get hurt or whatever, or just not look impressive for them to change things up. But, between Cam York and Jake Sanderson and Brock Faber and Tyler Kleven, like, yeah, they have a pretty steady defense. And again, they have a big, you know, with Spencer Knight and Dustin Wolf and Stein, you know, the three of them, Wolfenstein, like the video game. but yeah, I think, you know, like, they have a known commodity in Knight, who's been pretty good in international competition. So I definitely think they can pull off an upset. They're definitely an upset worthy team, if that's what you want to. They're definitely not as strong. And, you know, listen, it was unfortunate for them that Jack Hughes opted not to go. It's unfortunate for them that Nick Robertson opted not to play for them. But, you know, it is, every team has either lost players to COVID or just to circumstances, what it is. You know, Canada could have
Canada. Yeah, exactly.
But they're, you know, they're still getting Kirby Doc, which is pretty good. But yeah, man, I mean, they can definitely pull off the upset. And like I said, you know, goaltending in these tournaments is very important. So you don't have a lot of time to gel, and it's quick. And if you just let your guard down in the round robin, it can happen. So yeah, they're not the odds on favorite, but I still like them. And in the past, I feel like some of the more unheralded Team USA World Junior teams have had good success, you know, and knocked off some good teams. So if anything, you know, there might be some board material, you know, for how Canada comes in feeling like they're going to steamroll everyone. It just doesn't happen. They start panicking immediately, you know?
Yeah.
You have to, who's going to be the leader? And that's important. Like, you usually have a guy leading the way. You're not going to have Lafreniere leading the charge. It might be Doc, and they might look to him to do that. And he absolutely can, obviously being, you know, a bit older for this tournament. But at the same time, you know, who knows? Maybe Quinton Byfield has struggled out of the gate, and then he starts second-guessing his game a bit. And, yeah, I think perfect board material for, you know, chip on his shoulders for a lot of those young USA guys. You know, especially I think the guys who are returning to win gold.
Yeah, and you know what's unique about this tournament too is that, you know, the European teams, that you never really know what you're going to get out of them, because, you know, those guys, I feel like they're, every tournament there's a new star that you find, you know, within that tournament. So, you know, I'm very curious to see how, you know, especially like Team Sweden, even Finland, like those teams, they have some very good players. And again, like sometimes they just come out of nowhere and you don't even know what hits you. And there's so many times where I even thought Team USA was stacked, and then they get upset in the quarterfinals and they're going home. And it's just like a huge letdown. You're like, what the hell did we just run into? And then, you know, you watch those teams and you kind of realize like, oh, okay. Like these guys are for real too. So, you know, which makes the tournament that much more fun to watch, because you just really never know what you're going to get.
No, you're absolutely right. And like I said, in these tournaments, it's like, yeah, it makes all the difference, goaltending, because it's like a short tournament. There's less structure. It's a younger game. It's a little bit more free, you know, trading chances, especially as you get deeper. It's not like the NHL playoffs where teams just like shut it down. It just becomes like a dogfight. And I think it can make all the difference, you know, especially if, you know, if you can make it to the shootout, because games are decided in shootout and
right
at the tiebreaker, instead of if they can't get it done in overtime. Yeah. It's a short tournament. I think USA has what it takes to pull off an upset, but let's not mince words. On paper, Canada is absolutely stacked and the deepest team in this tournament. You know, I just think USA, luckily for them, they have a sneaky good team, you know, and unfortunately for some of the other teams, the other usual powerhouse teams, like Finland and Sweden, you know, between losing players to COVID, you know, especially Sweden, Jesus Christ, it's just, unfortunately they didn't make it. Just in off years, they don't have the star power. And, I wouldn't, Russia could surprise teams. Like, they're going to have Askarov, they're going to have Marat Kusnadinov, they're going to have Vasily Podkolzin, and they'll have some pretty good players, you know what I mean? So, I don't think any of those teams, you know, I don't think any of one of Finland, Sweden, or Russia has the depth on paper that, but, you know, again, like whether it be the world championships, or it's just sometimes it's more about how you, in short tournaments, if you can play as a team better, you know, than the other team, you can win. So who knows?
Right.
I'll be happily eat my words.
Yeah. And, you know, also it's too, I mean, I find it fun rooting for you know, the all-star team in the tournament, because you do really see like how much better those guys are. You know, you really see some spectacular, oh my God, I can't even say the word right now. Spectacular plays, you know, and just the creativity when you give these guys like Kirby Doc, like all the time in the world, or what it seems like to him all the time in the world after playing, you know, in the NHL, you know, just watching those guys and learning from them and seeing, you know, what separates them from the rest of the pack and what makes them not only NHL players, but, you know, future stars in the NHL. And that's, you know, another whole thing to look for. And it makes watching any game, not just the USA games, a lot of fun.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's just, I'm just so happy we have hockey to watch.
Right. No, absolutely.
I mean, I know what I'm going to be doing on Christmas Day. I'm going to be watching those games.
And Christmas night, you know, is USA.
Exactly. You know, so it's, and you know, like I, you know, with the prelims just to get me warmed up. And then the nice thing about this tournament is that it'll wrap up and then it's not long before we have some NHL hockey. So it's kind of nice. It's kind of almost like a precursor to it, you know, where it's, we've already had NHL hockey traditionally, and then I'm just kind of taking a break to watch the World Juniors, but this is the first taste of hockey you're getting. So who knows? I think this tournament might draw a lot more eyes than they have in the past, just based on the fact that there hasn't been hockey. So yeah, who knows? I mean, it's a good chance for these kids to step up and on that stage, and, you know, especially if they can draw some eyes they didn't previously had in the, they don't have to compete for watch with the, you know, NHL team. So yeah, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast and you've never watched the World Juniors before, it's awesome. It's on the NHL Network. If you don't have the NHL Network, I don't know, if you're a bit older, talk to your more computer savvy, I don't know, grandson or something, and they'll hook you up or whatever, but they'll figure it out. You can figure it out. I'm excited, man. Like, especially as a big prospect guy, it sucks that I'm upset that, you know, we don't get to watch, as a Ranger fan, you don't get to watch Carl Henriksen slot in with one of, or not both of, Holtz and, you know, Lucas Raymond and be, you know, a go-to line for Team Sweden. But listen, at the same time, I'm happy for a player like Hunter Skinner to get a chance to play in this tournament. I will be rooting for Team USA all the way, but, you know, it will be, if Team Canada is as dominant on paper as they look, it'll be fun. Cause especially cause this year this past season, or at least I'd say the past two seasons, I've been really trying to up my prospect tracking and watching, and it'll be fun to see how these guys look now, especially if with some of them having their sights set on the NHL sooner rather than later.
All right. Well, I want to end this podcast with, you can't pick Canada. Who's your pick to win the championship?
If I can't pick Canada.
You can't pick Canada, because that's cheating.
Can't pick. Okay. I'd have to go with, well, man, you're really, for me, you know, I feel like it's weird because I feel like the Swedes could, I don't know, they're missing a lot of guys, and I don't like all the guys they have, but I will say this. I like the two-way ability of a lot of Sweden's forwards, and I think that could be a big difference. But at the same time, I'd say, you know, I think that's the one thing that worries me about, not worries me, but I look at, you know, USA's middle six, and I see skill, but I don't know how much two-way commitment I see from some guys, or at least. So, you know, who knows? I feel like, some of the prospects that Russia is bringing this year, I feel like, you know, between Amurat Kuznetsov and, Vasily Podkolzin and Amirov, like, they could, you know, and they'll probably have Yegor Chinnikov, who's been shooting the lights out in the KHL. Yeah, Russia, you know, now that you think about it, even though it's as heralded as maybe some of their teams in the past, like, Russia could win. Honestly, you know what? I'm going all in on Russia. I think.
All right, you know, I'm putting all your chips on Russia to win the tournament.
I think they'll be well coached. Like I said, you have Yaroslav Askarov is currently acquitting himself quite nicely in the KHL against men. Although he had a rough tournament last year, so I think he's got something to prove coming back. You know, maybe I'm not as sold on Russia's defensemen, but yeah, I think if, you know, as long as they can get the puck to their forwards, they'll be fine. I like Kursanov. I like Daniil Chayka, who plays in the OHL. Like, and I like Russia's forwards a lot. I think I don't think Russia, in terms of maybe commitment to two-way play, I think I like a lot of their forwards. Like I had mentioned, you know, between Amirov and Kuznetsov and Podkolzin, like you have three guys that with motors like that, whether you have them on different lines or together, I think if you split those three guys up or at least have them in your top six somewhere, I think you're in great shape. So yeah, I'm putting my money on Russia.
You know,
if I can't choose Canada, I'm putting it on Russia, and that's not a slight to Team USA.
Yeah, no, obviously I want USA to win, but I'm kind of with you. You know, I think the tournament's going to come down to who can steal a game. Not many positions in the hockey world can steal a game like the goaltender, and Askarov is you know, very, very gifted and very special, and he's certainly capable of stealing a game against anybody. So. Yeah, Russia is definitely a sneaky team to look out for to win this tournament if Canada seems to have some sort of upset in their path. So, all right, Andy, any final words?
Yeah, let's all get excited about hockey's finally back next week. In some capacity, it's back, but it's a nice little appetizer for the NHL season. It's upsetting that, like I said, you know, some of the, like last year, Germany, that line of Peterka, Reichel, and Tim Stützle. Jesus, I had a brain for it. But, you know, Reichel is going to miss this tournament. They were a dominant line last year due to a positive COVID test. It stinks. You know, you hope with the bubble, all these young men can stay safe and they can play their games and they can just focus on hockey, because a lot of them haven't got to play organized hockey since March, you know? So, yeah, I'm, if you don't know how to watch, just hit someone up. They'll help you figure it out. We'll be, I believe that we have tentative plans to do some sort of either roundup or recap show for the Hockey Podcast Network, that will appear on our YouTube page. More details about that as they come, but, yeah, I'm excited, James. I know you're excited, and just, this Christmas, you might not be able to be, maybe you're separated from your loved ones. You're not going to travel if you're, you usually travel out of state, or just because of gathering rules and just wanting to feel safe. So this World Juniors feels like Christmas to me. I'm really excited. Oh, and parting Sieg, thank you so much for all the support we got for our division names. We're attempting to name these divisions. People really seem to like them, you know, between the Jager division, the Sundin division in the north, the Chelyabinsk division in the Midwest, the former, including, you know, some of the South Beach teams, and then the Korea division in the far out on the West Coast. Yeah, get those hashtags going. Hashtag Jager division, hashtag Korea division, hashtag Chelyabinsk division, hashtag Sundin division, because wouldn't it be cool if the NHL actually made them a thing? This is only going to exist for 1 year, knock on wood. So let's get them going and make sure to spam that hashtag Jager division tag as much as you can.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.